The following is a presentation from Mount Greylock Baptist Church. Mount Greylock Baptist is a Bible-based church located in North Adams, Massachusetts. For more resources, please visit our website, mountgreylockbaptist.com.
Let's take our Bibles, if you would, and turn to the Gospel of Luke, please. Luke chapter number 2. Chapter number 2, begin reading verse 8. The Bible says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." You can just stop there for a minute. Travel to Israel, you go to the shepherd's field in Israel, go to Bethlehem, and Bethlehem's up in the mountains. And so the elevation is high, and the fields are on tops of the mountains where they would graze the sheep, and those fields are still there today. So it's quite a sight. Like, when you're there, you get an idea. You get a feel for what the shepherds must have experienced. In fact, you go to Israel today, and you travel through the land, there are still shepherds all over Israel grazing sheep at different locations. So let's continue to read. "The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, and you shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." Let's pray. Lord, we ask again your blessing now in the preaching of the word. Speak to our hearts by your word and through your Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to see these scriptures. Help us, Lord, even now as we read them, with your help, to experience what was taking place there. And most of all, Lord, I pray that if there be one here today without Christ, they would come to realize through the preaching of the word and the convicting power of the Holy Spirit that they're lost and on their way to a Christless eternity, and they would receive the greatest gift of all, the gift of eternal life. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
In the middle of the Indian Ocean is a small landmass, and it's surrounded by crashing waves that hit that island, and it's known as Christmas Island. And you could probably, well, maybe you can't, but you could figure out maybe for yourself why it's called Christmas Island. Think about that for a minute. But it's a beautiful island. It's only inhabited by approximately 2,000 people. And 63% of the island is actually a national park. It's so beautiful. Well, it's called Christmas Island because it was discovered on Christmas Day in 1643. And then if you travel 9,000 miles away, there's another island called Christmas Island. And it also is a beautiful island. In fact, the entire island is a wildlife sanctuary. To the best of my knowledge, no one lives on that island except those people who might be there as caretakers. It's 120 square miles and a beautiful island surrounded by coral reefs, and it's been set aside, designated, again, as wildlife sanctuary. So I tell you that story to start the message by way of introduction, because, and also that island as well, I think I already said is called Christmas Island. I tell you the story about these two islands because, in a sense, they are symbolic, or they represent, as you hear about that, that Christmas, this time of year, and especially even today, it's kind of been set aside as an island, a time when we can pause, a time when we can kind of pull away from all the busyness. There's often a lot of busyness that leads up to today. But a time we can just set aside and really, when you think about it, the whole world, or much of the world, comes to a pause today. Believers, non-believers, even nominal Christians, they pause and they just pull apart, think about things, to contemplate. Time of peace. It's what we hope for. And a time to think about the greatest gift of all, the greatest gift of mankind, given to mankind, the Lord Jesus Christ. So I have 2 points to this morning's message as we read this text. Point number one is this, a special messenger, and then number two is a special message. A special messenger and a special message. So look, if you will, at verse 9. The Bible says, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." Ethan had mentioned as he was leading the singing the joy that the shepherds had. And they did eventually have joy, but they didn't have joy until first they were very afraid. They were astonished at what was taking place there. And because a special messenger had been sent from the Lord. In fact, the Bible says that there in verse 9, that the angel of the Lord came upon them. They were overshadowed on that mountainside by the angel of the Lord. The brightness of the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord hovered over them, and they were afraid. And then as the angel was there, the angel began to communicate unto them. It's kind of interesting as well, but also it says, look at verse 13. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying." So first there was the angel of the Lord, which was, I'm sure, astonishing and very frightening to the shepherds. And then as that angel began to communicate with them, then an entire host of angels came. I was thinking about that earlier this morning. Almost as if at first the Lord brought the angel of the Lord appeared unto them, and then gradually and slowly, and of course we don't really know how it happened, but all of a sudden there's an entire host. The word host in the Bible means an army. There was a vast multitude of angels. So if they weren't at first frightened by the angel of the Lord, which they were, they surely would have been when you had a vast multitude of angels there appearing unto them. So you see this. In fact, you saw and you see messengers all throughout the account in the scriptures of the Lord's coming. For instance, in Matthew chapter 1, "But while he thought," Joseph thought on these things, "behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in the dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." In fact, 3 times the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph. The angel of the Lord appeared to him then. The angel of the Lord would then come and appear to Joseph in a dream and tell Joseph that you need to flee to Egypt. And then after they were in Egypt, the angel of the Lord would again appear to Joseph and tell Joseph, it's now safe for you to go back to Israel, and he and Mary and Jesus would settle in the city of Nazareth. The angel of the Lord appeared unto Zacharias to tell Zacharias that you're not going to name your son Zacharias, you're going to name your son John. So you see angels all throughout the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course with Mary, there the angel is mentioned, it's Gabriel. And Gabriel appears unto Mary to tell Mary what is about to take place and to assure her that this is all of the Lord. In Hebrews it tells us that there is an innumerable company of angels. That on Wednesday night, if you're here, I'm not going to say too much more about it this morning, but this coming Wednesday night, I'm going to do a Bible study on angels and what the Bible has to say about angels. Because the Bible has a lot to say about angels. In Revelation, it speaks of angels 10,000 times 10,000 angels. You do the math, that's a million angels. And then it says thousands of thousands in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 11. So this angel had a special honor. The angel of the Lord, the angel Gabriel. What an honor to announce the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
What an honor that angel had. And angels are used of the Lord. They're ministering spirits. Hebrews 1:14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? That's what they do. They minister. And again, I'll just mention a couple of things as we talk about the special messenger. But of course, angels, they're spirit beings. And angels are emotional. And angels are intelligent and powerful and superior. And we'll look more in depth on Wednesday night with regards to that. But a special messenger appears and tells the shepherds, and instructs the shepherds what is about to take place there in Bethlehem. They say in verse 11, or verse 10, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And so now the special message, and it's a message that you and I can enjoy, that you and I can be part of. And for 2,000 years, people have heard that message, can embrace that message, and make it part of their life. And so, you notice this with regards to the message that the special messenger brought. Number one, it was a message of assurance. It was a message of assurance. Verse 10 through 12 again. The angel of the Lord said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. So you see that little phrase there? The angel was trying to assure them. Fear not, he says. In fact, he says, stop being afraid. It's the word phobia in the Greek. It means to put to flight. It means to be terrified. It means to be scared away. In fact, in the scriptures, when it said earlier, they were sore afraid, the word there is megaphobia. They were frightened to death when they saw these angels. The angel came to assure them. And the message of Christ is a message of assurance to you and me. Amen?
Amen.
It is a message of assurance to all of us. Stop being afraid. Stop being afraid. Fear can paralyze people. Fear is disturbing to people. Fear can be demoralizing, discouraging, and a distraction. The message of Christ reminds us we're not to be a people who fear the things of this world, but if we're to fear, we're to fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord, the Bible says, is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord, the Bible says, is the beginning of knowledge. But the angel was trying to reassure the shepherds that morning, or that, excuse me, that evening. Do the scriptures say in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7 this? Many of you know this verse. Say it out loud if you would with me. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, and of power, and of a sound mind. That's the spirit of God. The spirit of the Lord. He's not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, and of power, and of a sound mind. And it's interesting, but when you read around that text there, Paul was writing to Timothy, and Paul said to Timothy, he said, don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes when we're trying to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, fear can take hold within us. And we go to the Lord and we ask the Lord for that assurance. Get that kid under control, will you, man? Put a little of the fear of God in that kid. Like his father, he can't keep himself. Did you know that Aaron made blueberry for him? Oh, you are in there. So Paul writes to Timothy, he said, listen, God hasn't given you the spirit of fear. You're going to share the testimony of Jesus Christ, don't be afraid of that. There's power behind all of that. He said to Timothy, don't be afraid. Right after he says that in 2 Timothy, he says, listen, there's afflictions that are going to come. Don't be afraid of that. Don't be afraid of that. God, I haven't given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I've appointed you as a preacher of the gospel. Don't be afraid of that, he says. You know, God's appointed all of us for a purpose. You may not be a preacher of the gospel, but in a sense, we can all be preachers of the gospel. Okay, we all declare the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. And don't be afraid, because the message is good news. Hebrews 13:6 says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. It's the assurance. It's a message of assurance that there, even here at the birth of Christ, the angels were assuring, the angel of the Lord was assuring the shepherds, listen, fear not, he said. Fear not, he said to them. There is no fear in love, John would say in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, but perfect love, it casteth out fear. It's one of the great truths about the birth of Christ. It is a message of assurance. But secondly, it's a message of acceptance. It's a message of acceptance. He said also in verse 10, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Good news. That's what the word good tidings means. It means good news to everyone. To everyone. Listen, God in His love accepts all who come to Him to be saved. It's a wonderful truth. Amen?
Amen.
Whoever comes to the Lord, He'll accept. Whoever put their faith in Him, He'll accept. The gospel message is a message of acceptance. I was witnessing to a man this a week ago, and he asked me, I witnessed to him twice, and he asked me a kind of a difficult question. I'm not going to even tell you what the question was, but in a sense it was almost, sometimes people ask you a question just like they did Jesus, to try to trap you in a response. And so my reply to him with regards to people in a certain situation was, I love all people. Irregardless of who they are, where they are in life, what they're doing, I love all people. And I said, and that's because God loves all people. Now, I had to say to him, but there are things that people do in their lives that God does not love, that God clearly says are wrong. But what would you do, he said, if this happened in your life? Well, I'd certainly still love that person, but they would know that The Word of God says it's wrong. Because that in itself, telling someone that they're wrong, is an act of love. So it's a message of acceptance. God loves all people. Isaiah 45:22 says, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else." Or Isaiah said, "I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles." Now we understand, don't we, that the Jews are God's chosen people. Amen?
Yeah.
But aren't you glad that God brought the message to the Gentiles as well, to you and me?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
"That thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth." Look at verse 17 of the text. "And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." Well, after the shepherds left that mountainside, and they went to Bethlehem, and they went to see the Christ child in Bethlehem, they wanted everyone to know what they had seen. And they wanted everyone to know what they had heard. And it's a wonderful thing about the Christmas season that so many people hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I know that certain people have certain convictions of Christmas and the whole Christmas season and what's right and what's wrong and should you do this and shouldn't you do that. Can I just say this? There is no other time in all of the year where the gospel is heard. You walk through a shopping center and there is Christmas carols playing, and most Christmas carols have a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. People will attend services on Easter and on Sunday. I understand sometimes that's the only time. But I wonder in all of eternity how it will be revealed how many people who only attended that one time or that two time or the second on Easter or Christmas, all of a sudden the gospel rang true and that was the day they accepted Christ as their Savior. You know, Paul said, "Whether in truth or in pretense, however the name of Jesus Christ is lifted up, praise God."
Hey.
I've mentioned this, you might have heard it from my wife, her testimony. The first time she ever, or one of the first times she ever really considered Christ is when, in school, they were singing Christmas carols. She'd never gone to church her whole life. Her parents had no interest in spiritual things, really. And she, in public school, heard a Christmas carol. And in that carol, she heard about Jesus. And that was the seed that God used to plant in her life. Until some years later, she would sit under the preaching of the gospel and hear a clear presentation of the gospel for the first time and respond. And every year, I know there's a lot of things about Christmas that people get all caught up in. You can't deny the fact that all during the Christmas season, you turn on the radio, Christmas carols. You walk through the shopping center, Christmas carols. Church services. Just as the first day, it was to be declared throughout all of the world that Jesus Christ came to save you, and that He'll accept you. It's a message of acceptance, a message of assurance. It's a wonderful thought. And then lastly, it's a message of anticipation. So look what it says again in verse 13 and 14. "And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Goodwill toward men. It's a message of anticipation. Verse 15. "And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem. For the anticipation in the shepherd's heart, as the angels appeared unto them, and the angels told them what was about to take place, as they left that hillside, and they went into Bethlehem to the manger. Wow, what anticipation must have been found in the, must have been in their heart as they were about to go and they were about to look at the Christ child. Or think of the wise men as they traveled a long distance. The wise men traveled for months and months and months to get to Bethlehem to see the Christ child. Think of the anticipation in their hearts as they traveled and traveled and traveled, and they came and they said, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east." Think of each day as they got closer and closer and closer and closer, the excitement and the anticipation that was mounting. And isn't it something too, as they asked that the priest really ignored it? All of what the scriptures were teaching, and of course King Herod, he didn't not only ignore what was taking place, he wanted Jesus put to death. But that anticipation, it's a message of anticipation. And so, one day you and I, we heard why Jesus came into all the world, and we received him as our Savior. Each day we should anticipate, what's the Lord going to do in my life today? How's the Lord going to use me today? Who can I share the faith with today? We should anticipate that. Who's God going to put in my path today? And then we also recognize that we not only celebrate the first coming, but Jesus is coming again. Amen?
Amen.
He's coming again. In a moment, the twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the air, and so shall we be with the Lord. Wow, that's going to be something. We look for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But we anticipate that. That he came to make peace with us. You know, through many of Paul's epistles, you'll find, if you read through them, you'll find words, these words, like for instance, in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, Paul's introduction to the church in Rome is, "Grace to you and peace from God." God's a peaceful God. He wants there to be peace between himself and all of humanity. It's humanity that rejects that peace. There's peace from God, and there's the peace, of course, with God. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And how that peace comes by faith, because we, by faith, we've trusted in him. And then Paul speaks of the peace that passeth all understanding, the peace that we can have of God, the assurance that he gives us, the confidence that he gives us, the purpose that the Lord gives us. It's all part of the birth of Christ. There's a special messenger that day to the shepherds. But for 2,000 years, there's been a special message. Preachers have stood behind pulpits and on street corners and in people's homes, and Christians have shared the gospel with other people. It's a special message. It's a message that saves souls. It's a message that can assure people. It's a message of acceptance. That everyone, God won't reject anyone that comes to him by faith. And that we can anticipate, not only that the Lord is going to return, by the way, we all know this as well, we anticipate that one day we're going to step from this life and we're going to step into the next life. We were joking over coffee before the service today. I don't know, birthdays came up and I forget exactly what was said, but I always think of that. You know, some people have a hard time with birthdays. Birthdays don't bother me. I'm going to live forever.
Amen.
Forever. Going to take a step out of this life and step right into the next life. It'd be exciting. And I anticipate that. I do. It's kind of morbid. No. Not morbid. It's exciting. I'm going to live for Jesus every day that Jesus gives me and share the gospel with as many people as I can. And And you should too. Amen?
Amen.
Then we're all going home in glory. That's where we'll spend eternity. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. All that I preach this morning is because of the greatest gift of all, the gift of eternal life. They are wrapped in swaddling clothes was that gift. He became a man, lived on this earth for 33 years without sin, went to the cross, took all of our sin, wrapped himself in our sin, and suffered, was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, I pray that today would be the day. Do you realize that you, like the rest of the world, you're a sinner? And if you'll call upon Jesus, he'll save you. Just take a moment in the quietness of the moment before we conclude this service. Lord, I am a sinner. And I do believe that Jesus died paid for my sin, and I call upon Jesus to be my Savior. Call upon him. Because his message is a message of acceptance. It's a message of good tidings to all people that God loves you. Thank you, Lord, for this time that you've given us this morning. We pray as the Christmas season continues to unfold and then come to conclusion, as the gospel has gone forth throughout the world, whether in the preaching of sermons or in music or giving out Christmas cards or tracts, however, Lord, we're thankful and we feel, ought to feel confident and assured that you'll use us to reach a lost and dying world for all eternity. Bless now the invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. We hope that the message was an encouragement to you. If you are nearby, please consider being our guest this Sunday. For more information about Mount Greylock Baptist Church, or for answers about what it means to be a Christian, please contact us. We would love to hear from you. You can find more resources online at mountgreylockbaptist.com.